Reading this morning from Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 12, Text 24. I'll chant the verse because there's no verse written on the board. Sarva sadguna mahatmye esha krishnam anubrataha ranti deva ivo daro yayatir eva dharmakaha. Translation: this child, that's Maharaj Parikshit, this is the horoscope, the jati karma pronouncements of what the life of Maharaj Parikshit will be like. This child will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna. That's pretty good. By following in his footsteps. In magnanimity, he will become as great as King Rantidev. And in religion, he will be like Maharaj Yayati. So there's three glories that are being described. Sarva Sat Guna Mahatmye, glorified by all godly attributes. Sarva Sat Guna Mahatmye, as good as Krishna. Esha Krishnam Anubrataha, because of his following Krishna. And second one is Udara. Udara is magnanimity. Udara di Udara. So magnanimous as Rantideva. And dharmaka, concerning religion, like Yayati. So, very nice two-page purport by Srila Prabhupada here. The last instruction of Lord Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is that one should give up everything and should follow in the footsteps of the Lord alone. Less intelligent persons do not agree to this great instruction of the Lord, as ill luck would have it. But one who is actually intelligent catches up this sublime instruction and is immensely benefited. Foolish persons do not know that association is the cause of acquiring qualities. Very important point. Because it's said that Maharaj Parikshit has sadguna, all good qualities, mahatmye, to their fullness, just like Krishna. So how does that happen? By association. Association with fire makes an object hot, even in the material sense. Therefore, association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes one qualified like the Lord. Okay, so then how do you associate with the Lord? As we've discussed previously, one can achieve 78% of the godly qualities of the Lord's intimate by the Lord's intimate association. To follow the instructions of the Lord is to associate with the Lord. There's how you associate with the Lord. The Lord is not a material object whose presence one has to feel for such association. The Lord is present everywhere and at all times. It is quite possible to have His association simply by following His instruction, because the Lord and His incarnation and the Lord and His name, fame, attributes, and paraphernalia are all identical with Him, being absolute knowledge. Maharaj Parikshit, associated with the Lord, even from the womb of his mother up to the last day of his valuable life, and thus he acquired all the essential good qualities of the Lord in all perfection. So that's the good qualities. Then Udhara, the magnanimity of Rantidev. An ancient king, Rantidev, as an ancient king prior to the Mahabharata period, referred to by Narada Muni while instructing Sanjaya, as mentioned in Mahabharata, Drona Parva 67. You're the great king. Liberal for hospitality and distribution of foodstuff. Even Lord Sri Krishna praised his acts of charity and hospitality. He was blessed by the great Vashishtamuni for supplying cold water, and thus he achieved the heavenly planet. He used to supply fruits, roots, and leaves to the rishis, and thus he was blessed by them with fulfillment of his desires. And Prabhupada has an italics in the purport here. Next. Although a Kshatriya by birth, he never ate flesh in his life. He was especially hospitable to Vashishtamuni, and by Vashishtamuni's blessings only he attained the higher planetary residence. He is one of those pious kings whose names are remembered in the morning and evening. We'll come back. I'll read the rest. Yayati. Yayati is known for his religiosity. Dharmaka. Yayati. The great emperor of the world and the original forefather of all great nations of the world, who belong to the Aryan and Indo-European stock. He is the son of Maharaj Nahusha, and he became the emperor of the world due to his elder brothers becoming a great and liberated saintly mystic. He ruled over the world for several thousands of years and performed many sacrifices and pious activities recorded in history. Although his early youth was very lustful, full of romantic stories, he fell in love with Devayani, the most the most beloved daughter of Shukracharya. Shukracharya's daughter was Devayani. Devayani wished to marry Yayati, but at first he refused to accept her because of her being a daughter of a Brahmana. According to Shastra, a Brahmana could marry the daughter of a Brahmana. They were very much cautious about Varnasankara population in the world. Shukracharya amended this law of forbidden marriage and induced Emperor Yayati to accept Devayani. So that part was okay, but then he had a problem. Devayani had a girlfriend named Sarmishta, who also fell in love with the emperor and thus went with her friend Devayani. Shukracharya forbade Emperor Yayati to call Sarmishta into his bedroom, but Yayati could not strictly follow his instruction. He secretly married Sarmishta also and begot sons by her. When this was known by Devayani, she went to her father and lodged a complaint. Yayati was very much attached to Devayani, and when he went to his father-in-law's place to call her, Shukracharya was angry with him and cursed him to become impotent. Yayati begged his father-in-law to withdraw his curse, but the sage asked Yayati to ask youthfulness from his sons and let them become old as the condition of his becoming again potent. He had 5 sons, 2 from Devayani and 3 from Sarmishta. From his 5 sons, namely Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu, Anu, and Puru, 5 famous dynasties came, namely the Yadu dynasty, the Yavana or Turk dynasty, the Bhoja dynasty, the Malecha dynasty or Greek kings, and the Paurava dynasty. All emanated to spread all over the world. He reached the heavenly planets by dint of his pious acts. But he fell down from there because of his self-advertisement and criticizing great souls. After this fall, his daughter and grandson bestowed upon him their accumulated virtues, and by the help of his grandson and friend Shibhi, he was again promoted to the heavenly kingdom, becoming one of the assembly members of Yamaraj, with whom he is staying as a devotee at present. He performed more than 1,000 different sacrifices, gave in charity very liberally, and was a very influential king. His majestic power was felt all over the world. His youngest son, that's Puru, agreed to award him his youthfulness when he was troubled with lustful desires, even for 1,000 years. Finally, he became detached from worldly life and returned the youthfulness again to his son Puru. He wanted to hand over the kingdom to Puru, but his noblemen and the subjects did not agree. He was the youngest brother. But when he explained to his subjects the greatness of Puru, they agreed to accept Puru as the king, and thus Emperor Yayati retired from family life and left home for the forest. Very colorful personality, Yayati. Go back to the verse. Sarvasat guna mahatmye esha krishnam anuvratava ranti deva ivo dharo yayatir eva dharmakaha. Translation: this child, Maharishi Pariksit, will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by following in his footsteps. All magnanimity, and in magnanimity he will become as great as King Rantidev. And in religion, he will be like Maharaj Yayati. Overall, with these discussions about Maharaj Pariksit's qualities, it is instructing what are important qualities for a leader to have. And in certain ways, how one can acquire those elevated qualities. So, the first part of the verse is in general speaking of his very, very elevated qualities according to nectar of devotion, Krishna's qualities are unlimited, but there are 64 most prominent qualities. And of those qualities, the living entities may possess up to 78%. 78% is 50 of those 64. That's 78%. But even those 50 qualities are less than, in quantity, less than what Krishna has of each of those qualities. So because Maharaj Parikshit was a Krishnam Anuvrataha, who was a very strict follower of Krishna, he developed as full as a living entity can exhibit those qualities. So that's that's 50 of them, just in one sentence or one statement. So Prabhupada is giving us some nice instruction. That is, how good qualities are to be developed. Good qualities are to be developed by association. He says it in reverse. He says, foolish people don't know that association is the cause of acquiring qualities. So that the bad qualities are also acquired by association. And good qualities are acquired by association. Prabhupada said, he described children, for example, as being like clay. You can mold them however you like. Now, it doesn't mean that there is no personality or no past impetuses or tendencies for doing things, but by association, qualities can be developed. So, the qualities of parents are very important in order to produce quality children. So, the persons who raised Maharaj Parikshit was the Pandavas, primarily Maharaj Yudhisthira, because that was their grandson, and the father of Maharaj Parikshit was killed before he was born. Abhimanyu was mercilessly killed, a 16-year-old warrior ganged up on by many Maharatis. He was such a powerful personality. Anyway, so by association of the qualified grandparents, but not only that kind of association specifically, because Maharaj Parikshit followed the instructions that he received, which were instructions of Krishna. His grandfather was Arjuna, and Arjuna heard the whole Bhagavad Gita being spoken. And it's not that only Arjuna heard it, or that only Sanjaya and Arjuna heard it. It became a topic that many persons would discuss. What Arjuna heard. The whole the life of Maharaj Parikshit involved hearing again and again and again and again and again the glories of his forefathers, which meant the Pandavas and specifically Arjuna. So he would hear the instructions of Krishna. And he was associating with Krishna by following those instructions. That's what we're hearing. That's association with the Lord, by which one develops good qualities. Then another very important point is, I'll read the sentence. The Lord is not a material object whose presence one has to feel for such association. When we're engaging in activities according to the instructions of Krishna, sometimes we might feel something, sometimes we might not feel something. That's not the standard of whether we're associating or associating properly or associating improperly. The condition of the mind may be feeling this and feeling that, but on the platform of the soul, which is the platform with which we're associating, upon which we're associating with Krishna, on the platform of the soul, purification is taking place regardless of the sentiments of the mind. So, for example, when we're chanting japa or chanting in kirtan or worshipping the deity or like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're doing one of the primary activities of bhakti. It's nice to have nice feeling, but if that's not the case, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would pray, "My dear Lord, you can do with me whatever you like. You can crush me with your embrace. You can neglect me and leave me brokenhearted. You can trample me with your feet. You can do with me whatever you like. I just have this one request, to be engaged in your service." So one may be feeling this or feeling that. "Oh, I'm being neglected by the Lord," or "I'm being trampled by his feet," or "I'm being crushed by his embrace." There's different feelings, but the essence for the devotee is to be engaged in the Lord's service and maintaining that appreciation, the mindfulness of the presence of the Lord. So to think what Prabhupada is saying here is to think otherwise, we're seeing the Lord as a material object. He's not a material object. And as a material object, our happiness with a material object is what we feel about it. But Krishna is not a material object. Even with material objects, they have done all kinds of presentations that I've been making. Just the last one was very interesting at Intel, spiritual economics. People really liked it. But when people have a material object, there's an expectation that it's going to bring certain happiness. And the fact is, it doesn't bring that happiness. And even if there's some sense of happiness, that happiness fades very quickly. They have studies that show it doesn't bring happiness. But still, people are driven to get objects, thinking it's going to bring happiness, when their experience says otherwise. That's called Maya. So, Krishna is not a material object, that's Princess Prabhupada's point. And our standard of remaining enthusiastic in devotional practice should have nothing to do with this feeling, that feeling. It should have to do with our conviction in the absolute and pure nature of Krishna and his service, and become purified. And when the relationship with Krishna is established, that's happiness. When the wanting simply Krishna's pleasure is established, that's happiness. So Maharaj Parikshit had that quality. He was of the 50 qualities of the living entity, the 78% of Krishna's qualities, he had them as full as one could have them. Then Rantidev is described as a very magnanimous king. He was on the topmost platform of bhakti. The topmost platform of bhakti is where one sees every living entity as engaged in Krishna's service. Except perhaps one, that's the individual himself or herself. Their humility is very strong, but their pandita samadarshana, not just in theory, but factually appreciating Krishna is within the heart of every living being. That was the platform of Rantidev. And because of that, being on that platform, as king, he was very charitable. He would profusely give charity to, you know, not just people that got him elected, because he wasn't elected. Not just even people, but all living entities. He was just, his disposition was very charitable. And he performed many sacrifices in order to increase the benefit to be given to his subjects. And he was very happy to engage in austerity. This is like, very much like Maharaj Ambarish, where he had undergone this year-long vrata, Ekadasi vrata. And very, very severe. So Rantidev, he practically surpassed that austerity. He fasted for 48 days. We couldn't live if we fasted for 48 days. But he had the capacity for 48 days. He's the king. He has royal treasury and, you know, motions his finger and he has whatever he wants. Fasting for 48 days. So on the 49th morning, they made a royal feast, specifically the Bhagavatam says, including with ghee. It wasn't just like water or soups or something. It's very easy when you've been fasting for a long time to digest. Very sumptuous, royal, breaking the fast arrangement. When he sat down to break the fast, this is described in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. And just as he was about to break the fast, one Brahmin came. He's a great king. He immediately stops and got down from his seat and offered the seat to the Brahmin and said, "Please, enjoy." So the Brahmana ate to his satisfaction and there was some remnants. And after seeing the Brahmana off, he sat down to break his fast with the half that was remaining from what the Brahmana had left. So now it's Maha Maha Prasad. And just as he was beginning to break his fast, a Shudra came, a poor man, saying how he was so hungry. So he took from his plate, directly from his plate, and gave an equal portion to the Shudra. And waited till the Shudra was finished taking his meal, and when the Shudra was finished taking his meal for the third time, he sat down to break his fast. Just at that time, a poor man came with a whole bunch of dogs. And the poor man said, "My dear king, my dogs are hungry. My dogs are hungry. Can I have something to feed my dogs?" So everything that was left on his plate, he gave to the dogs so that the dogs could be fed. But there was one thing left, and it was some water. Just as he was about to take water, one Chandala came and said, "I'm very thirsty. Could I have some water?" So he gave his water, and he spoke some very beautiful words. He said, "My dear Lord," his thought was always upon the personality of Godhead. "My dear Lord, I don't want anything from your mystic perfections, elevation to the heavenly planets, even liberation. May I simply remain amongst people in general and accept some kinds of austerities to relieve them of their sufferings so that they can become freed from their sufferings, even that may mean that I suffer. This is my one request. And by taking that position, this is my real happiness. And this is all I'm asking from you. So, those personalities, the Brahmana and the mendicant and the man with the dogs and the Chandala, were actually demigods that had come to test, examine, and demonstrate to the world this magnanimity of Ranti Deva. So when speaking of Maharaj Pariksit as being as magnanimous as Ranti Deva, that's a major compliment. Here it's mentioned from Mahabharata. That description is from Srimad Bhagavatam in Mahabharata. His relationship with Vasishtha Muni is mentioned twice. Because he was so magnanimous, it's not that he only served Munis and forget everybody else, or only served the dogs and forget the Munis. He served everyone. That was Ranti Deva. So he went out of his way to take care of the mendicants in the forest and their austerities they were doing, and brought cold water to Vasishtha, and he was so appreciative. Vasishtha was an ideal Brahmin. So he was so pleased that he granted Ranti Deva attainment to the heavenly realm. And the third quality, so Sadguna Mahatmye, Sarva Sadguna Mahatmye had all good qualities by following Krishna. And magnanimity, Udara, like Ranti Deva, and then religiosity, like Yayati. One might think might be a more religious man than Yayati. Seems like, at least in his childhood, he was a little misdirected. But in his later stages of life, he became a perfected soul. So this intrigue that's described, there's more to it actually. Sarmishta and Devyani. Sarmishta was from a Kshatriya birth, and they were friends. But Devyani, from a Brahmana, Sukracharya's daughter. Sarmishta, from a Kshatriya family. So when these two girls became married to, or Devyani became, they both became married, but Sarmishta, and some pretext, became angry at Devyani and pushed. This is how it happened. Before they were married, they got in a quarrel, and Sarmishta pushed Devyani down in a well. So Devyani is calling for help, and the king was traveling in the forest and heard this calling of a female voice and came to the well and looked down, and there was Devyani. So he rescued Devyani. And Devyani then said to Yayati, I'm without clothes and you've seen me naked, and so you must marry me. Besides, I am very attracted to you. That's where this part comes in. You can't do that. I'm you're a Brahmana's daughter, and I'm a Kshatriya, it would be improper. Your caste is above mine, so I can't marry you. So somehow Devayani persuaded her father to make an exception to this standard, and he personally came to request Yayati to marry his daughter. So with that specific request from Shukracharya, he accepted. And part of the marriage was this, her friend, Sarmishta. So one can imagine there was already this rivalry going on between, although they were friends, they had their spats. So Shukracharya cautioned, although you have the company of Sarmishta, no combination with Sarmishta. Well, he wasn't able to follow that, so he became cursed. And he was cursed because he would become an old man and impotent. And then the description is, Yayati was very unhappy. He didn't want to become an old man and impotent. He was married to these two beautiful, young, qualified women. He wanted to enjoy with them. And so, he requested some relief from Shukracharya. Shukracharya's, the relief that he gave was, if your sons give you your sons give you their youth and they take your old age, you then can be relieved of this old age and impotency. So the first four sons says, forget it, Dad, you know, you blew it. The Puru said, yeah, sure. Whatever you want, Dad. You can have my youth, I'll take your problems. So that you can enjoy with your two co-wives. So that happened. He became again young and potent. But sure enough, the happiness of youth and potency proved to be misery. And so he became miserable. And then he underwent some purification and could understand this is really a bad program. Material life in general is a bad program. He then went back to Puru and gave his Puru back his youth. So then the detail is he wanted Puru to become a successor. But you know, the others were elder brothers, so how do you have the youngest of five brothers become the king? So there was objection. But when he explained how qualified Puru was, everyone wanted him as king and he became king. And this other part is that the sons from Devayani and Sarmishta made the races all throughout Europe, Greece, Turkey, Indo-European stock. Prabhupada describes came from this Yadu, including the Yadu dynasty was one of the sons, Yadu. In Bhoja, two sons of Yayati. Very important king. So, of religious principle like Yayati, he performed over 1,000 different types of sacrifices. So, very qualified follower of Dharma and ruled for thousands of years. These are some qualifications, like the qualifications of Maharaj Parikshit. See if there's any questions while he's getting the yogi ready. Yeah? Feel the presence of spiritual master and Krishna, and it may not, you know, it's like chanting. We'll just keep it really simple. When you're chanting, you should feel the presence of Krishna when you're chanting. So supposing you're not feeling anything, what does that mean? You're bad? Or let's say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I have no love for Krishna. Because if I had love for Krishna, in separation from Krishna, I wouldn't be able to maintain my life, and I'm maintaining my life. There's proof. I have no love for Krishna. So, striving is one thing, and you know, what my point was, is following what Prabhupada is saying here, the standard is not, oh, I'm feeling something. So, you know, in other words, our goal is to feel something, like exhilarated or ecstasy or something like that. Our goal is to be become purified through our service in relation to the spiritual master and Krishna. As I mentioned, the happiness is to be in that relationship. It's Krishna's happiness, it's not our happiness. That was the point. There's a feeling connected with that, but it's not our happiness feeling. I think I should respect the prior arrangements. You ask your question, or we'll just end it after your question.
I don't have any specific questions.
Okay. Granthuraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.